السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم اما بعد قال اللہ تبارک و تعالی اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا كِلْتَا الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا صدق الله العظيم. Ulama e Kiram, most respected brothers and our sisters who listen over the receivers, over the past two or three weeks we have been discussing pride. How it destroys a person spiritually. And not only spiritually, but even if he has material possessions, plentiful in abundance, or he has other gifts and other ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has gold, silver, he has knowledge, he has expertise in some field. Now all these things, there is the risk and the danger that the person could lose all that just because of this pride. And I have repeatedly explained that pride does not mean that you should not consider yourselves as having little more knowledge or more wealth or more expertise than someone else if Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with. There's nothing wrong with that, that's a reality. The person has got more knowledge, he's got more wealth, he's got more expertise. But to think that it is all of my doing and it is all my expertise, I am the one who brought it into this world from my mother's stomach, and I am worthy of praises and I am worthy of thanks and appreciation and glory. And now we start looking down upon others, those who do not have that much, or those who have less than what we have. Then that is what brings about destruction. That is pride, that the person now looks down upon the others. Especially those who are poor, who are needy, or those who are simpletons, those who are not so bright, so intelligent, so gifted. So we start looking down upon them. We start treating them like slaves, or like people who are not worthy of any kind of respect, although they may be having plentiful of piety and taqwa in them. But yet, because they do not have these things, we consider them as useless. That is what pride is. Or we do not want to accept haq, truth coming from anyone that who is younger than us, or truth coming from a person who has less wealth than we have, truth coming from somebody who does not have that kind of expertise that we have or skills that we have, then we are reluctant to accept it. We feel shy to accept it. That how can I accept this from so and so? Who is he? And that is what the kuffar also said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, could he not find anybody else to choose as a messenger? Couldn't he have sent an angel? Or couldn't he have sent somebody from the very wealthy people of our community? So this is what pride is, and it has destroyed nations in the past, rulers in the past, and in the present times too. If we have to look around, then this is the cause of the destruction of many, many people. Haman, Firaun, Qarun, Shaddad, Namrud, all these people, if you have to look into their lives, they were the followers of Shaitan, as far as pride is concerned. They rejected the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whoever came to them at that time, they rejected just because of their wealth or because of their other bounties that Allah ta'ala had blessed them with as a test. So on Monday night in the majlis that we had here, as a follow-up, I had discussed this ayat of the Quran Sharif very, very briefly. But since we are discussing this on the Jummah occasion and it is a different audience, so I wish to bring it to your attention again that it is an ayat or a verse of Suratul Kahf. And Suratul Kahf is that surah which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that if a person recites it on a Jummah day, on a Friday, then up till the next Jummah, Allah Ta'ala will bless him with a noor, with a kind of light in his heart, celestial light. If he has to, now if you have to put all the hadiths together, it requires quite a bit of time. But some of the things that have been mentioned, that this light, by way of explanation, it is mentioned that this light, if this person has to die during the course of that week, then it will light up his grave. On the day of Qiyamah, it will give him light and noor. But the most important thing is that the recitation of Suratul Kahf is a protection from the fitnas of Dajjal. The Nabis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala asked for protection from the fitnas of Dajjal. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked for protection from the fitna of Dajjal. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and all the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they all asked for protection from the fitnas of Dajjal. Now Dajjal, who he is and when he will come and what are the signs by means of which we will recognize Dajjal and what will be his fitnas, now that is a subject on its own. But one of the attractions of Dajjal will be music. Those who are quick followers of sing-song, wherever they hear a drum beat or wherever they hear some kind of musical instruments playing, then they rush to listen. They are the most in danger of the fitna of Dajjal, like the Pied Piper of Hamlet. Dajjal, his music will attract the people. His music will attract the people from all sides. One day I was going to Overport City to go and purchase something. But from all sides I could see people running towards this complex, as if something had happened, something serious had happened. So being outside, not aware what was really happening, but I thought probably there must be some special offer. So, because when there's special offer, people run sometimes like that. So as I arrived there, on the ground floor, there was some dance and music that was taking place, some show. From the top you could hear that there's loud music and this dance and whatever it was taking place there. Now from the top you can see all kinds of people looking down, glued to whatever was happening there, mesmerized by whatever was taking place. And who were watching? Not only those who were disbelievers in Allah Ta'ala, those who had nothing to do with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, with His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with Akhirat, with Qiyamat, with the Day of Judgment. There are many, many people like us dressed in the garb that I am wearing and with beards, and many ladies with their cloaks and with their scarves, and some could be seen with their niqabs, and they were also glued there. You can see how dangerous this fitna of Dajjal is going to be. If we think that just our outward garb will save us, then we are mistaken. Times are very, very dangerous. People are losing their iman. I'm not talking about adults, I'm now talking about young children at schools. In the past also, I think I mentioned it, and again recently the same thing. A letter intercepted of a standard 5 or standard 6 school girl, where she is writing to her boyfriend, "I am prepared to even leave my religion for your love." Fitna of Dajjal is going to be very, very serious. It's time that we get up from our slumber, from our sleep. Somebody gave me an article in which it is mentioned that some teachers have found primary school children having sexual contact in the schoolyards. And they say, "We watched it on television. That is what we are now doing." And they were asked, and a class 1 and class 2, 5 and 6 year old pupils. They say, we saw it on television. But yet we will say, no, this television has got plenty of educational value. Who is denying it? Even sharab, even liquor has got some kind of benefit. The Quran Sharif says so. The Quran Sharif says that even your liquor has got some kind of benefit. But what does it say? وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْحِهِمَا. The harm that it will cause, the harm that it has, is much, much more than the benefit that it has. So I always say, we are not talking about the box itself. People keep on justifying it by saying, what is wrong? It is an instrument that we can use for good purposes. No doubt, if it was used for good purposes, we had no problem. But when we know that 80% of the contents of the programs is nothing but filth, as far as Islam is concerned, norms are different for every community, for every nation. Norms are different. Values are different. What we say, modesty, it doesn't make sense to those who don't believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What is modest to them is immodest to us. There is a big difference between modesty, morality, what Islam speaks about, and that which the disbelievers talk about. Therefore, you will find that whenever a person has to complain about something that is causing a problem with the morals of the people, and it is bringing about in the society a propagation of indecency, immorality and obscenity, then you will always find replies from others who will say that it is subjective. What is morality? It is subjective. Moral according to whom? They will ask you, moral according to whom? Now, if you say moral according to the Muslim community, they will say, well, that's good luck to you. But when the Muslim community itself then begins to accept the immorality, the indecency, the obscenity that is coming from all quarters, and makes it their norm, their way of life. Our programs are structured in the same way. Whatever they do, whatever they enjoy, whatever is their entertainment and their kind of pleasure, then we must provide for our children the very same kind of entertainment and pleasure to keep them away from those places. That's what they say. To keep them away from there, we must give them the very same kind of entertainment. Then what is the difference then? Islam is not against entertainment. We don't say the person must be sulky and gloomy and sad the whole day and night. Islam wants you to be cheerful, to be happy with your family, with your children, with your friends. Smile and talk, greet. That is why Islam has got Assalamu alaikum. Greet them cheerfully. Exercise. Who stops us from exercising? Who stops us from jogging? Who stops us from running? Who stops us from doing those things which will be good and beneficial for physical health? Nobody stops us. But when we say that there is a marathon that is taking place, and in which we know that not 99.9%, practically 100% of the people, we know how they are dressed, and we know that what the takeoff is like, thousands of people crammed together, pushing each other, bumping each other, and in what kind of costumes they are, I don't have to discuss and go into any detail. Now we say the Muslim also must take part. He must promote it. He must show an interest in it. And our Islamic stations also will give you a rundown of what is happening. Why? Because it is exercise. Doesn't Shariat say that you must exercise? Doesn't Shariat say that you are allowed to run and jog? So you can see how this is a Dajjali fitna. It's a fitna of Dajjal that we are using those hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in which he promotes exercise and fitness. Now we will use it in the wrong place. And the people who are watching, what are they watching? What are the young boys watching? And leave young boys these days, even the old people with white beards, what are they watching? Go and ask them. Isn't there nafs taking enjoyment from watching those women running in those costumes? Ask them, tell them, take qasam and tell you if they're enjoying it or not. Because I have letters, I have been consulting, I've been talking to people. And when they decide to change their lives, then they admit that indeed this was our weakness. So what I am saying is that this fitna of Dajjal, the real Dajjal, will come when he will come. But already we are in the trap of the fitnas of Dajjal. So you can see what is happening. Little children, now we will say no, educational value. It is time that we realize that things that are happening in other parts of the world, they are not going to happen only in other parts of the world. At present, our charities and our du'as and a little bit of our ibadat, but the major part of which is of course the charities that we give for all the disaster stricken areas, that is what is cooling the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala protect us. So the person doesn't want to accept truth and haq when it comes from some quarters. Why? Because of pride. Who is he to tell me that? I know more than him. And yet that person's heart will tell him that what I am doing is wrong. If he has to question his heart, it will tell him what you are doing is wrong. But he won't be prepared to accept it. He will find justification for it. These people are outdated. They are orthodox. They are living in the camel age. They don't know what life is all about. They don't know what enjoyment is, what pleasure is. Wallah, I'm telling you, there is no such thing as happiness and pleasure except in obedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Allah Ta'ala gives happiness inside the heart. All this happiness is outside. After a little while, that same person who was suffering from depression, but he enjoyed that for a little while, ask him, his depression has increased. His problems have increased. His trauma has increased. His fights and quarrels and arguments with his wife, which were carrying on, and which he tried to soothe for a little while by watching haram, now that will increase. Dushmano ko aishabo gil diya, dosto ko apna dard dil diya. Dushmano ko aish ab o gil diya, dosto ko apna dard dil diya. Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili, humko tufano mein bhi sahil diya. On the shores also they find storms. Allah Ta'ala gives them material things, but on the shores also they find storms. No peace, no happiness, no satisfaction. That is why suicides are increasing. That is why bombings are increasing. For his friends, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives dard-e-dil, his muhabbat, the love. And that is what brings sukoon in the hearts. So this is this ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses two people. It's an example of two people, set forth for them, gives them the example of those two people, parable. جعلنا لأحدهما جنتين من أعناب. For one of them we gave him two gardens of grapevines. Allah Ta'ala says we gave him not one, two gardens of grapevines. وحففناهما بنخل. And then we surrounded it with date palms. A picture, two beautiful huge gardens of grapevine. And then surrounding the whole garden, Allah Ta'ala says, we gave him date palms. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. And in between them again, plantations. Corn, whatever you can think of, beautiful plantations. Then Allah Ta'ala further says, كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنَ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَزْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Which means that both these gardens of grapevine, plus all those date palms, everything produced so much of crop. Nothing was held back. Plentiful Allah Ta'ala gave. Plentiful. Take. Because He is the one who gives. The earth doesn't grow those trees. If you have to dig up the earth, you will find nothing there, no colors there, and you will find no taste. There will be no sweetness there. Wherever we plant sugarcane, go and dig up the earth and taste that sand and see if there is any sweetness in the sand. Allah Ta'ala is the one who puts sweetness into sugarcane, which is bamboo sticks. But Allah Ta'ala puts sweetness into cane, into wood. Cannot He put sweetness into our hearts? So Allah Ta'ala is the one who puts that sweetness. So He says, we gave them this, and those crops were plentiful, plentiful. And again, picture that beautiful river that's flowing in between. So He doesn't even have to look for a canal or watering and irrigation problems, nothing. Everything is coming from all sides, plentiful. And besides that, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ. And not only that, but besides that also, he had plentiful of wealth. This one person, Allah Ta'ala says, we gave him plentiful. Gold, silver, anything you can think of. Now begins that pride. Or that pride now comes in. So in an argument with his friend, or in a discussion with his friend, now what is it he'll tell to his companion and his friend? فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا. So now he tells to his friend the same thing what Shaitan told, that أنا خير من, I'm better than you. So now he tells to his friend, أنا أكثر منك مالا, I have more wealth than you have. And also, if you have to look, I'm just giving you the meaning of it, and also if you have to look at the following of the people that I have, and the power that base that it gives me, and the respect and honor that it gives me, that look at the number of people that are following. Yet I am a sinful one, although he is a very sinful one, is not obeying Allah Ta'ala, he's got all the disobedience in his life, but Allah Ta'ala is giving him plenty of wealth, so now he thinks that he is better than the other person. And he tells him, he says, I've got more wealth than you, and I've got more following. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health, and an opportunity, then in a fortnight's time we will discuss. Next Jummah I will not be here, but inshallah, we will continue to show how Allah Ta'ala gives a very clear message and a clear signal to us that it is not necessary that if a person is blessed with plenty of material possessions, or if he has got kingdoms, he has got oil wells, he has got government, and he thinks he is a superpower, then Allah Ta'ala is also pleased with that person. That is like a trap that is there for them. It is just a matter of time. And we can see all those who became arrogant and proud. We will discuss these ayats further, for these verses further, and you will see what happens after that. But if you look around the world, Russia claimed to be a superpower. There's no talk of Russia now. It has been smashed to so many different pieces. America was proud and arrogant, superpower. When the Twin Towers collapsed, their pride was shattered. But the problem is with the Muslim Ummah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showed it that we can shatter the pride of this proud and arrogant devil. But then the Muslim powers, the Muslim governments, if they say that we are ready to now accommodate you, and we will give you our bases, our land, our support, logistical support, this support, that support, to smash the heads of those people who are believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So then who do you blame for that? Otherwise Allah Ta'ala showed it to us, that with all their intelligence agencies, with the CIA, with the FBI, and everybody else working for the government, yet they could not protect those towers. We are not justifying what happened, but what I'm saying is that when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala unleashes His azab, then superpowers have to rub their noses on the ground. So many other places we know what happened to America's so-called superpower. And even those wars which it won in Iraq and in Afghanistan, it could not have won them except by making use of all those Muslim countries. So arrogance and pride is a very dangerous thing. When Allah Ta'ala gives ni'mats, when He gives wealth, when He gives knowledge, when He gives piety, when He gives taqwa, when He uses us for the effort of His deen, then become more and more humble, more and more humble. The branches which are filled with fruit, they bow down. The empty ones will stay up. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the realization that in humility there is elevation and in pride there is destruction. Make use of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, but don't be proud. Don't look down upon people and don't reject that which is haq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.